It's easy to come up and preach after that. So it's also easy to preach when you hadn't preached in 2 weeks and you're raring to go. So hang on tight. We got some ground to cover this morning, but I hope you're ready to hear a word from God. Amen. All right, so let's don't waste any time. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9. This morning we're continuing our look through the book of Acts. We are seeing how God is turning things upside down in the book of Acts. We're seeing how God is turning things upside down in this church, in Arcadia, and beyond. So far, we have seen the disciples get the commission from Jesus in Acts 1:8 to take the gospel into all the nations. They've made it through Jerusalem. Now they're in Samaria. We've also seen that with their faithfulness to push the gospel out, the enemy is pushing back. There's a lot of persecution starting to happen. The enemy's not going to sit idly by while we invade the culture with the gospel. You know that, right? And we're seeing that here in Scripture. We also saw back in chapter 7 how Stephen was the first to lose his life for the cause of Christ. And when we looked at that story, we were introduced to a man named Saul who was standing there watching this execution. And Scripture says he gave his full approval to it. As we begin chapter 8, we see that this man, Saul, was out to ravage the church. It was his mission in life to take down the church of Jesus Christ. He was going from place to place, arresting believers, throwing them in jail, because he was that opposed to the things of the Lord. But you also know that this same Saul, God would save, and we know him by the name Paul. And he was probably the greatest advocate for the cause of Christ that the world has ever seen. Most of the New Testament that we read was penned by him. So what happened to Saul? What happened that would take this guy from going to single-handedly trying to destroy the church of God to being its greatest advocate? What happened? Today we're going to see what happened. Today we're going to see how God's amazing grace can completely change your life. Now, this is important that you remember this, right? That you know this. That when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, your life not only partially changes, the majority of your life doesn't change. Jesus Christ has the power to completely change everything about your life. Yes, more than two people need to say amen to that, right? Jesus, let me set you up. All right, we'll just pretend that never happened. Jesus Christ has the power to completely change your life. Amen. Amen. All right, so. And we need to realize that our lives can completely change. That we were dead in the grave, but when we heard his name, he made us alive. Now, when our lives completely change, that means everything we were, everything that we did is gone. Our past can be wiped clean. But here's the problem, church. Although we say, yes, Jesus has completely changed me, a lot of the times we don't live like it. You see, because there are things that we did in our past. There are things that happened to us in our past that we're still in bondage to, that we can't let go of. And you and I will never be all that God wants us to be, all that he saved us to be, unless we really get our minds around this concept, is that when he saves us, we completely change. The past is gone. But too many believers are held in chains to their past. So when God calls you to step out, in your mind you're saying, no, I can't do that. I remember who I was. I remember what I did. And I'm still feeling guilty for that, so how can God use me? Or you're still wrestling with something that happened to you in the past, and you haven't really allowed God, you haven't embraced that concept that you're completely changed. And so many people are stuck. They're an idol in their faith because of their past. But this morning, I want to tell you something. God can completely change everything about you. Your past is wiped away. It's gone. You're a brand new person. God doesn't hold you responsible for your past anymore. So don't hold yourself responsible. Today we're going to look at a man that if anybody in the history of mankind could have been crippled in his past, it would have been this man. Because of everything he did to destroy the lives that were on his hands, he could have forever been stuck in the past when God wanted him to move on. But we're going to see that he realized that God completely changed him, and he wasn't a prisoner to his past. First thing I want you to see on your outline this morning is that, yes, our past experiences do shape us. And a lot of times they dictate how we view our present, how we view our future. Unfortunately, for many of us, our past holds us captive, and we're unable to move on because of what has happened to us or the things that we've done. But here's what I want you to write down. The first line on your outline is this. If you didn't get an outline there at the back, in the back, behind the back partition there, but it says this: although we are products of our past makes us who we are in many degrees. Do you understand that? Do you agree with that? So in many ways, we're products of our past, but listen to this. We do not have to be prisoners of it. There's a big difference. All your past experiences God can use for His glory, but so many people are in prison. They're in bondage. They're in captivity to what happened to them in the past, what they did in the past, and they can never move forward and let God use them to the full extent of how He wants to use them. So although we are products of our past, we do not have to be prisoners of it. You see, that's the beauty of the gospel. That is the beauty of Jesus Christ. He says He makes all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Now listen to this. The old has passed away. That means it's dead. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? That's infinity, right? Because no matter how far east you are, there's always going to be a west and vice versa. God says, I've taken your sin and thrown it into the depths of the ocean. I've forgotten about it. It's over. You're forgiven. You're a new creature. The old has passed. The new has come. Jesus makes all things new. So let me ask you a question. Are the things that we've done in the past, or the things that have happened to us in the past, is there any reason for those things to hinder us in our walk with Jesus Christ today? Is there? No. Why? Because He's made all things new. We're no longer that person anymore. And we're forgiven. See, a lot of times God forgives us, but we can't forgive ourselves. We can't forgive others. And we get held in bondage. And again, today we're going to look at a man whose life was truly turned upside down. Truly turned upside down. And I imagine if you were to ask Paul in his later years about his past, and how could he be so effective for the cause of Christ knowing his past, I'm sure he would have probably maybe said something like this. He would have said, that was then. This is now. I'm a new person. I'm forgiven. How many of us can truly say about our past, that was then. It's over. This is now. We are completely changed. We've got to realize that, folks. We are completely changed, and we can't let our past hinder what God wants to do right here, right now in your life. So that was then. This is now. So we're going to look at Paul. We're going to look a little at his past. We're going to look at the power of God that showed up in a big way in his life, and then we're going to see how he got past it. So the first thing, before we talk about our now, let's talk about our then. So in your outline, the first thing that we want to talk about is our past. And yes, guess what? We all have a past, don't we? We all have a past. None of us were born believers, were we? We all were disobedient to God. We all did things that were unpleasing to God. We all lived for our glory, not the glory of God. We all have a past. And I guarantee every one of you, I don't care if you're 8 years old or 88 years old. I don't know if we have anybody older than that. Keep on going until you reach your age. I guarantee you, we all have things that we regret doing. Amen? We all have things that we regret doing. So we're all on a level playing field there. We've all got a past. Let's look at Saul's past. Look what it says in chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 of Acts. I'm sorry, chapter 9. We already moved ahead a chapter. It says, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus. So if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So again, another glimpse we have of Saul, just like in chapter 8 started. Chapter 9 starts the same way. He's still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of our Lord. He's still out to destroy the church of God. He asked for letters to go and find more people to throw into prison and to be executed for the cause of Christ. When it says breathing threats and murder, that means it was a continual thing. This was who he was. This was what he was about, destroying the church of God. It says he was going out to find those who belong to the way. First time we see that description of believers in the Bible. But remember what Jesus says, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. So he was, when it says those belonging to the way, it's talking about believers in Jesus Christ. He was going to Damascus. Now this was 135 miles from where he was in Jerusalem, a six-day journey by foot. So he was serious. He wasn't content with rounding up believers in Jerusalem, just like the gospel was now spreading, so was persecution. So Saul was adamant to go wherever he could go to find believers to deal with them. He was about as anti-Jesus as it comes. He was very religious. He had a head knowledge, but no heart knowledge, and we've talked about that today. He thought he was doing God's work. He thought God was happy with him, but he was very mistaken. And maybe you can relate. Maybe before you knew Jesus Christ, there was a point in your life where you felt you and God were okay. You did more good than you did bad. God was okay with you. Surely he's not going to punish you because you're a good person. Paul thought he was a good person. But listen, is being a good person enough to please a holy God? Never. Most people will say when asked if they're going to heaven, they will say, I hope so. I think so. Then if you say why, because I'm a good person. But the Bible says there is no good person. No, not one. We're not going to turn here, but just write down Romans 3, chapter 10. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Guess who wrote that? Who wrote that? Paul. This same guy that thought he could earn his righteousness by doing God's work, destroying the church, would later write, there is none righteous. No, not one. Talk about a life turned upside down, but again, that's for another time there. But I think we can talk about this man, and in the same breath, we can talk about something he wrote and see the change. Isn't that exciting? He was completely changed, but he had a past. He had a past. If you were to ask the church at this time, who would God choose to have one of the greatest ministries in the history of the world? Nobody would have said Paul. He was not on anybody's radar. I wonder if you asked your friends back before you were a believer in Christ if God would use you to do incredible things, to turn things upside down. What would they have said? You ever run into somebody that you knew in your past and now you tell them how you're living and they say, no way, man. No way. Well, I know who you were. I was doing the things with you when you were doing them. So Paul had a past. You and I have a past. And we're products of our past. We can learn from our past, but we're not prisoners of it. Let's see why. Let's see what happens when our past meets God's power. Second thing on your outline, number two. When our past meets God's power through the cross, what happens? Let's look at verse 3 through 5 in Acts chapter 9. So Paul's on his way to destroy the church. He's got a 6-mile journey. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly, I saw the light. Suddenly, a great light from heaven flashed around him, and filling the ground, he heard a voice. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Lord, who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." So when Paul's past, when his life before Christ met God's power, something miraculous happened. When our past met God's power, something miraculous happened. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, when you meet and encounter the power of the resurrected Savior, something miraculous is going to happen in your life. You see, our past cannot stand in the presence of God's power. You understand that? God's power is greater than anything that we've ever done. Paul saw the light. Light here is a brilliant light. It literally means the physical manifestation of the glory of Jesus Christ. It represents the presence of God. So listen to this. Despite Paul's past, despite what he was doing currently, God had a plan for him. God had a purpose for this wretched man. And guess what? He's got a purpose for us as well. Despite our past, despite the things that we have done. In verse 5, we see that this is not an ordinary angel that he's talking to. We see that it is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to go to 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 41, Paul tells us that he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus Christ. He says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord?" He had an encounter with the resurrected Savior. God's power met his past, and his life was forever changed. Forever changed. Next thing on your outline, God's power is greater than our past. God's power is greater than our past. And I don't care what you have done. I don't know if anybody here can say, "I've got Saul's track record." I don't think anybody can say, "My goal in life was to kill believers, to destroy the church of God." Now, maybe it was. And it's hard to put degrees on sin, right? Because in James 2:10 says, if you've committed one, you're guilty of all. But I like to use Paul as an example. Look at what this man did in his past. And yet how God's power changed everything. And look what this man would go to do. So do you have a past this morning? Do you regret the things that you've done? Do you wish that you hadn't have done them? But here's the good news. God's power is greater than all that. He can completely change you. The old is gone, the new has come. You see, even when you're in your worst moments, even when you were running from God, even when you were hostile to the things of God, God still had a purpose for you, as we see here. You see, God knows your past. He knows everything that you and I have ever done. And yet, the next thing on your outline says, despite everything that we've ever done, things no one else yet knows, God knows everything that we've done even before we did them, yet he still chose us. I can't explain to you the magnitude of that. That despite knowing everything you would do against him, he still chose you. He still called you. He still made you his child. Despite everything Saul had done, God had a plan for him. And guess what? God's plan, now this will blow you away if you really understand this. God's plan for Saul predated Saul. That means God already had chosen Saul before he ever committed one of these atrocities. God knew what he would do. God knew the man that he would be. But God also knew he would open his eyes and save him. Look what Paul says about this in Galatians 1:5. It says, But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. But notice what it says. But when he who had set me apart, when? Before I was born. I point this out because so many of us believe that we can never get over our past. We believe that God will never forgive us of the things that we've done, and we can't move on past it. But listen. God loved you before any of it even happened. Does that blow your mind? Paul says, before I was even born, God had set me apart. That means God had a plan for Paul, a purpose for Paul. And yet Paul would do some of the most disgusting things to children of God. Yet God, it says, when he was pleased to reveal his son to me, we're talking about that right now. So again, is our past, what we've done, what's happened to us, is that greater than the power of God? And should that ever hold us in chains today if we're children of God? Should it? God's power is greater than our past. We've got to understand this, because if we truly understand God's perspective on things, we won't be in bondage to our past anymore. You see, God's power in choosing you to be His child is much greater than your past and all the sins that you ever have committed or ever will commit. He knows. He knows. Now, does this mean God creates us to sin? Does this mean God says, I want you to sin. I know you're going to sin, and I'm making you sin. No. We're born sinners. God doesn't create us to sin. Because of Adam and Eve, we're just born that way, right? We're born into sin. And it's natural for us to sin. But despite that, despite everything that we ever may do against Him, He still loves us. And His purposes predate us even being born. God knew the wicked things Paul would do, but He would also at the proper time save him. He is a sovereign God. His power is greater than our past. Another way to say this on your outline is this: God's purposes will happen despite our past and the mistakes we make. God's purpose will ultimately be fulfilled. Do you believe that? Is there ever going to be something God wants to do that He won't do? So if God's purpose is for you and He has a plan for you, it will come to pass regardless of what you've done, because His purpose predates your past. His purpose predates your past. And His power is greater than our past. That's why we just sing about, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. His grace is so much greater than our sin. His salvation is such a magnificent thing. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Romans 8, 29 through 30. And I want to read those really quick to remind you what they say, because it fits in beautifully here. Again, for us to realize where our past should be in perspective to what God's power is and what He's done. Listen to what it says. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He also called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Now look at those words again. Remember what we said about those. This is one of the verses that we use to say we can know that we know that we know that we know that we are believers, because God calls us to salvation. He opens our eyes. He draws us to Him. He knows who's going to be saved. When He calls our name, then He justifies us. That means He makes us clean before Him. We get Christ's righteousness. And then He says, those who He justified, He declared righteous, He also glorified. But let's see if, I'm going to give you a little pop quiz. Go back to the other one. Do you know the tense that last word is in? You remember? Is that in the past, present, or future? Past. Now, is any of us glorified today? I don't see it. If we were, we'd all be blind. You know. But none of us are glorified yet, but God already calls us glorified. It's in the past tense. It will happen. So I want you to now put the next slide up. This is where our past fits in here. God knows those who will be saved. But it says, those He predestined, He called. Those He called, He justified, He declared righteous, and those He justified, He will glorify. So where does our past fit in? It fits in right there between those He predestined and those He called. Do you see that? Because that's where it has to fit in. Before He opened our eyes, before He drew us, Paul said, before He revealed His Son to me, look what all I did. But that was a part of God's equation from the beginning. He knew everything you would do against Him. He knew every sin that you would ever commit, no matter how grievous it was, no matter how bad it was, no matter how many people it hurt, no matter how many times you got hurt, God already knew it, but He still had a plan for your life. And His power is greater than your past. So can our past ever hold us in bondage anymore? Can we ever think, God, if You only knew what I did, how could You save me? God, how could You forgive me? It's right there. He knew everything, and yet He still called you by His name. He still declared you righteous. He still made you a child of God. God's power is greater than our sin. So can we keep thinking about our past and feeling bad about our past? God said, that's okay, learn from it. But I knew everything you would do before you did it, and I still made you my child. And I completely completely changed you. The old is gone. The new has come. Learn from it, but let it go. You're mine now. You're not in bondage to that anymore. The old man is what? Dead. 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 So our past can never, should never hinder what God is doing if we understand where it fits in God's plan for us. If anyone could have beaten himself up for his past and felt unworthy for the rest of his life, I think it could have been Paul. But he understood the grace of God because he wrote a lot about it. Third thing I want you to see this morning. After God's power interacted with Paul, met God's past, then God revealed his plan. So when our past meets God's power, God reveals his plan when he saves us, when he opens our eyes. Look what it says in verses 6 through 16. I'm just going to read it quickly for you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these verses, but just see God's plan for Paul. Remembering everything that he had done, God still had a purpose for him as he does for us. Look what it says in verse 6 through 16 of Acts chapter 9. At the end of verse 5, he says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am. Best response ever to God. God calls you, here I am, I'm ready, I'm listening, right? Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, now get this. He says, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, and so that he might regain his sight. Now Ananias reacted probably the way you and I would react it, in the way that we react sometimes when we see somebody from our past walk into this church and say, my goodness, I never thought I would see this person come in this place. Or you encounter somebody who's a born-again believer and you say, I never, ever thought that would happen. Somebody sees you and says the same thing. Look what Ananias says in verse 12. I heard an amen there or something. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name, meaning he was coming to get us too. But the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. God's power is greater than Paul's past. He's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And we say, oh, that's just God getting Paul back for all he did. No, that's true for every one of us who's a believer. Jesus said, the Bible says in all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, blessed are you when they persecute you, revile you, call you all kind of evil things. So this is a part of the deal of being a believer. This Paul who was on the giving end would spend the rest of his life on the receiving end. But did it change who he was? Did it change what he did? His life had been completely changed, turned upside down, and we saw that. Verse 17, so Ananias departed and entered his house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me to you that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's plans for Paul would be carried out through God's power. That's the next thing on your outline. Look what it says there again. Verse 17, it says, that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Where does our power come from? Holy Spirit. God says, I've saved this man to be a chosen instrument of mine to carry the gospel. And now I've given him the power to do it. So again, when our past meet God's power, then God reveals his plan for us. We have new eyes. We're now believers. Now we can start to understand the things of God, and we can hear and discern what his purposes are. As we read the Bible, because of the Holy Spirit, we can understand the things of God, where before, in our past, it was foolishness. But now, we just understand because of the power of God. So God revealed his plans to Paul through Ananias. And when Ananias laid his hands on Saul, that was a physical symbol of the invisible power of the Holy Spirit coming to heal Saul and dwell within him. God, you put the right person at the right place at the right time to accomplish his purposes, right? So when God asks you to do crazy things, what's our only answer? Yes. We may say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. But it says when Ananias first addressed Paul, he said, Brother Saul. So somehow God got the message through and he went and he did this thing. Even if it was going on in the back of his mind, this guy might be a trap, it might be a trap. But then he's like, no, God wouldn't put me in a trap, would he? But our mind can do terrible things to us if we let it run away with us, right? But always filter it through Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So Paul's ministry, as ours will be, is accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul had a past, a bad past, but God had a plan. And through God's mighty power, God revealed his plan to Paul. Here's the next thing, number four on your outline. When our past meets God's power, God reveals his plan to us, and then we can truly discover our purpose. Our purpose. When our past meets God's power, God saves us, then we can understand his plan, and only then can we truly fulfill the purpose which we were created for, which was what, ultimately? To bring glory to God. Because in our past, we could not do that. But once we have the Holy Spirit and eyes that can see and understand the Word of God, now we can understand the plan of God for our life and we can begin to fulfill our purpose despite who we were in the past, because God's power is so much greater. Let's look at Paul's, look at how Paul began immediately to fulfill his purpose. Look what it says in verse 19. It says, in taking food, he was strengthened. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. These same ones he was going to kill, to drag back to Jerusalem. Now they were brothers in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is our past stronger than God's power? No. We see a great illustration. Paul's now fellowshipping with these same brothers he was going to kill. And immediately he proclaimed, immediately he proclaimed, immediately he proclaimed. You see, his past didn't hinder God's purpose for him. He understood the power of God. He had seen it. He had experienced it. Now he understood the plan of God. And immediately he started fulfilling the purpose of God for his life. Immediately, it says, immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priest? But Saul increased all in the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Do we see a life completely turned upside down here? When our past meets the power of God and he saves us, gives us the Holy Spirit, now we can understand the plan of God for us. We can understand his word. We can read. We can understand what he expects. And then we can start to fulfill our purpose for which we were created. And that thing we call the past that wants to keep us and remind us of who we are, just remind yourself that it's dead. That's not you anymore. God's power dealt with that. And if you need an example, look at Saul's life. God knew everything Saul would do. Every believer he would arrest. Every believer that he would watch be killed. Yet God still had a purpose for him. What have you done? What's in your past? I know I've got a lot of things I regret. A lot of things I wish I had never done. And a lot of things, if I dwelt too much on, would say, God, how can you ever use me? How can you ever forgive me? How can you ever redeem that? But then I remember, before I did any of that, God already knew what I would do, yet he loved me and he still saved me. Because his power is greater than my past, and it's greater than yours. Paul understood his purpose, and he immediately began to fulfill it. People were amazed, and we know the rest of the story, right? We're going to talk a lot about the rest of the story as we continue through Acts. But then as you read Romans, as you read the epistles, you see the rest of the story. You see how this man lived. But I want you to see how he died. At the end of his life, we don't see Paul regretting his past. We don't see him saying, if only I haven't wasted all that time trying to destroy the church. Now, I know he never forget where God saved him from, but it never paralyzed him. So at the end of his life, at the end of his ministry, when he's sitting in jail waiting to be executed, he's not going back to his life and saying, oh, the years I wasted, how could I have done that? Do you want to know what Scripture pretty much records as Paul's last words? Where his mind was at the end of his life? Because many of us lay on our deathbed, or will lay on our deathbed, unfortunately, and say, if I'd only done this, if I'd have only been here, if I'd only spent more time with my family and not too much at the job, if I'd only start serving the Lord sooner, if I had not only done A, B, C, or D. Listen, Paul could have spent all his life saying that. But notice how he closes his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Now that is a powerful statement, because he knows his time is up. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. But oh, I wasted so much of my life. Oh, I never got over what I did to the church. I never understood. I just can't get over it. Do we see that here? Because he understood God's power, dealt with his past once and for all. Listen to these words again. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. This is a man who was confident in his relationship with God. And he said he could lay his last days of life saying, I did it. I completed my course. I was faithful to the cause of Christ. And we don't hear him bemoaning his past, because he understood the power of God. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me also, but all who have loved his appearing. Paul didn't have regrets. Paul was ready to go home. I hope when I'm on my deathbed, I can say I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race, and I'm ready to go home. I hope I won't lay on my deathbed saying, if only I had done more for Christ. If only I had used my time more wisely. If only I had realized that I was completely changed and my past could not hold me back. Why did I spend so much time regretting the things I did and what happened when God said he took care of that? His power took care of that. And he saved me before I even did any of it. Why? I want to lay there and say, God, I did all I could do through your power. Take me home. I think we all can be there. But what we have to do is understand that he's completely, completely, completely saved us. The old man is dead. The new man is here. His power is greater than your past. Now let's fulfill our purpose. Amen. Don't be a prisoner of your past. Instead, focus on the power of God that chose you, that saved you, and that is keeping you. And you can know that you know that you know. Amen. Rely on his power to help you accomplish his purposes. And when that past starts creeping up, remind those thoughts of the power of God. Remind yourself that you were bought with a price. Remind yourself that your salvation predates your past. So anything you did, God knew it before he saved you. Remind yourself of that and say, I'm not going to let that stop me from being faithful today and in the future. Remember, when our past meets God's power, God reveals his plan, and we can discover and fulfill our purpose. Amen. That was then. This is now. This is now. Father God, we are so grateful this morning for the story of the Apostle Paul. God, we are so grateful that we can look at a man who had a past, who had a bad past. And we can remind ourselves that, you know what? We do too. We've all done things that were all about us and not about you. We've all done things that we regret. And we've all spent way too much time regretting them and focusing on them and letting them hold us captive to where we are today. God, I pray today that your word will go out, has gone out in this place today, and every one of us have been encouraged to remember that despite our past, despite what we've done, our salvation was predated. You knew everything we would do, and yet you still called us by your name. You made us your children. Help us to remember that your power, your saving power, your sanctifying power is always stronger than our past. We are completely new. The old man is gone, the new has come. So Lord, I pray today will be a new chapter in many lives. That for those who have been holding on to their past, those who have been regretting their past, those who have let their past paralyze them, today will be a fresh start that they will say no more. God, I realize you forgave me. God, I realize you saved me. Despite knowing everything I would do, you still made me your child. And I pray that we would all have a newfound sense of gratitude for the amazing grace of God that saves us despite anything we can do. And from this point on, we'll understand that we're products of our past, and we can help others from the mistakes that we've made, but God, may we never again be prisoners to it. Because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. That means completely free. There's no chains left. God, thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for the words that you inspired him to write that we are still reading today. And God, thank you for recording how he finished, to give us hope that no matter what we've done, no matter what our past is, we can still finish strong. We can still make an impact for you. Even if we've lived and regretted it up to this point, from this point on, moving forward, Lord, we can finish strong for you. Help us to rely on you. Help us to pray about these things. Help us just to understand them. And God, help us to share this good news and continue to turn this community upside down with the gospel. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open. If you've been struggling and hanging on to your past, let that go this morning. Understand that God knows your past, but also understand his power is much greater. So the altar is open. If you want to pray, just fall at his feet. If you want to come and just thank him for his amazing grace, that he saved you in spite of you, then I encourage you to do that too. However God leads you, respond. But let's all leave here more excited about Jesus than ever before, more ready to be used by him than ever before, and ready to finish strong no matter how much time we have left. Let's stand together.